Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And for this show, I'm also the guest because I wanted to talk with you about how special you are, how unique you are, how different you are from anyone else in the world, maybe in the universe, although it's an infinite universe, so who knows? But in the meantime, you're very different than anyone. And you might not want to be. And you might even be conditioned to not want to be, to fit in, to be like everybody else. And in many ways, that conditioning works, even though it's really in your, on your soul journey to be conditioned to be like everybody else, or like who your family wants you to be, or to not be true to fulfill the gifts that you're here for. But then again, your soul, before you were born, decided that these people were going to be in your life and challenge you to fulfill yourself on your terms or on their terms. We don't know. You're the decider. So what's in you to play the game your way? Because it's always your way. Even if you give in to the ways of others, that's who you're here to be. And you're here to fulfill that. And you can judge yourself all day long about how true or not you are to yourself or to others. And what does that mean? It's just, your mind judging you. And how many of you judge yourselves? A lot or a little. Maybe if we just get along with others and toe the line, there's not a lot of judgment about it because you're cooperative. But what if you're not? Then you have to question why. What's unique about you that you have to play it differently? And most of us do. And certainly the people listening to this show, I think all do. So I know I'm talking to. And I'm here to really help you. Maybe let's call it believe in yourselves more, because you learn more about why you have to be the way you are. And it's in divine order. And it's in grace of being the spark. It's called the spark of God that you're here to be, is grace. However it fulfills you or not, because again, we come back to that self-judgment, self-criticism, but we're here to grow through challenge. We've come to this life because it's a tough planet, a tough world, that especially now that we're living in. And it challenges us to find our light. What lights our path? And for some of us, it's been very different. We're on tricky terrain, slippery slope. And others are just trying to find comfort with others in community and get along. Of course, we all want to get along, but we all think differently too. And And some of us think of, how do I get along better? And others think of, what can I change? Or what can I help change? And we can't help it because we're designed that way. And so it's fascinating how we have to live the truth of our souls and to fulfill our soul journeys. And to give us perspective, I thought it would be a good idea to think back thousands of years to, it's in current writing form, the Bhagavad Gita is the story from, and many of you know the Bhagavad Gita, and the story of Arjuna, who was he was the prince of the kingdom and a champion and a general of his troops. And there were two sides, and they were about to go to battle. And one side was Arjuna's side, and he felt that he was right. And he felt the other side were the bad guys, because they were doing things that he didn't feel were principled. And they all agreed with each other in their perhaps unprincipled way to build their own army. And so Arjuna has his army of people who believe in their beliefs. And they're facing each other, ready to go to battle. And Arjuna rides out into the middle of the battlefield before it starts on his chariot with his chariot driver, Krishna. And all he knew was that Krishna was a friend and a chariot driver for him. But they're in the middle of this open field, and Krishna says to Arjuna, I want to tell you who I really am, and I have lessons for you. And that's the Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna's lessons to Arjuna about life, the universe, sacredness, goodness. And it's beautiful. I really, if you haven't read the Bhagavad Gita, it's amazing. And just reading it is so uplifting. And then at the end of Krishna's lessons to Arjuna, and he's so wise now, Arjuna says, because I'm so wise now, I'm such a universal thinking person, how can I go to war? How can I do this? Because it's not oneness. This is duality, and it's extreme. What am I going to do? And Krishna looks at him and says, do what you're here for. You're a warrior. You're here to go to war. It's your duty to be true to yourself, to the design that you're here for, to the template. If we knew his human design, it would say, go to war. And Krishna knows that. So he says to Arjuna, let's just say that Arjuna objects and says, wait a minute, I can't do this. And Krishna says, you have to, and you have to kill the enemy. And Krishna says, well, some of them are even family. And Krishna says, you're the warrior. You're the champion of your people. Your people are going to war for a great reason. And you have to lead them. And that's how the Bhagavad Gita ends. So what does that say for us? That we have to stand up to life in ways that we're here for. And it doesn't mean to be a contrarian. It doesn't mean you have to be a warrior. You can be a lover. Maybe that's what you're here for. It's just to love everybody. And You need to do that. You need to do whatever your design is. That's, you know, you can call it human design, call it your astrology, all kinds of tools, your source cards. They all read the same way of the kind of person you're here to be and what you can do with it. The idea is to know the language of it, because Krishna understood what Arjuna was here for, and then he could insist that Arjuna had to follow the template that he was born to. And we all should know that. And that's why I love these systems, human design and cards and et cetera, because they give us the language of the personality that we're here to be, even though we are that anyway. But we haven't necessarily heard the language of it. How does it read? And so when we know the words that fit our personality, we can use them. It's the language of ourselves, and we can speak it to ourselves, even to others if need be, and say, this is who I have to be. And I'm sorry, but might not fit your needs, but I can't help that. Just like Arjuna had to, you know, go to battle against people who he originally cared about. And still did, but we all have to do that. And it's being done now, really, on both sides of these, you know, pandemic issues. And families are being divisive and can't connect, can't communicate. It's like, wait a minute, why can't we all agree? Well, we're not designed to. And so, how does that work? How do we know that? You know, and I use human design a lot to understand why we're so different. And for instance, in human design, there are chakras. And it's a nine-centered system. And it's based on your birth data. It's based on where the planets were and when you were born. And it uses the Chinese I Ching for the information and also chakras. And so the way it works together is that, for instance, there's a spleen chakra. And the spleen chakra isn't one of the normal seven chakras that we're taught about, but it is the home of fear for survival. And the way it's positioned in your human design, it could be either defined or undefined, meaning that it's active or not. But when the spleen chakra as the home of fear for survival is not active, then we don't have a foundation of our fears. We're not comfortable that we can handle our fears smartly. Because when these chakras are undefined, when they're inactive, they actually have active erasers in them that erase any comfort you might have created. And so those of you who have undefined, and you can find out, you can have your human design charts done on the, get them done on the computer. You can email me, peter@heartriver.org. I can send out charts to people. And the spleen chakra is, you can see it in the lower left of the chakra template. And if it's colored in, it's defined. If it's not, it's undefined. And if it's not, that means you don't know how to handle your fears and you get caught up in them. And you could say that you worry too much, but it might make you a lot smarter than people who don't. So let's not call it wrong. You know, it's really interesting that when it's undefined, you pretty much second guess everything, you know, a lot to do with your security and your health. And so during these days now, having to do with health and security, it's understandable that there's a lot more people who are fearful than you can understand, because you know human design, you know about this and human design. So you can say people are born to be fearful. And they have little erasers in them. So when they figure out how not to be fearful, it's like they have to pretty much start all over again. And so that's why we see a lot of fear around us and people responding to fear in self-protective ways that people who aren't fearful don't always understand. I mean, we have our own fears too. I have definition. So I've taken maybe too many risks in life. Because when your spleen chakra is defined, it doesn't mean that you're home free. It just means that you're willing to risk it and take chances. I know people whose spleen chakras are undefined and they just can't take too many chances in life. They play it very carefully and conservatively. And so it's good to know that, you know, that there's that differentiation among us. And then there's the root chakra, and that's the first chakra. And in human design, that's known as the pressure to initiate, because it is the bottom and it's like, it gets you going. And some people have that defined and some people have it undefined. And those who have it undefined are okay with their own pressures on themselves, but they can't handle other people putting pressure on them. And you might know a lot of people that way, or maybe you're that way. And then you build strategies about that, of avoiding pressure from others. And it's interesting to see how unnerving that can be. And those who have it defined are full of pressure spirit. Give me more. And it's fascinating to see how that works in people's charts. Then there's the solar plexus chakra, the third chakra. I know I'm bouncing around spleen first, now we go to the third. But the third chakra is feelings, it's the solar plexus. And half the planet have it defined and half the planet have it undefined. And if you're defined, you're always in your feelings. And your feelings are always moving. Mood changes, attitude changes, hope and pain, hope and pain, hope and pain. It's not simple. And I remember when because I'm defined, I remember when I first learned about it, I wrote an email to Human Design office complaining about, you know, that there's this chakra that doesn't leave you alone. How can that be? And yet it's really the people who have it undefined who worry the most, because when your emotions are undefined, you're never feeling safe emotionally. And so you're always avoiding conflict. And it's people have, that's half the planet who have undefined emotional chakras are not good in conflict. They lose it. So they don't want it. So they try to live chill. But you can only live chill so long, because if you sweep everything under the carpet because you don't want to face it, eventually it just erupts. So usually the people who are undefined are the people who have the biggest tempers, who get crazy, because they're not, the definition isn't holding them more together. And those of us who are defined, like me, we're always on a sine wave, hope and pain, you know, and it's fascinating how that works. I'm married to a woman who is undefined and wants everything to be chill and meditates a few times a day, and it's good for her. And then I come along and she looks at me and she says, oh my gosh, you waste so much time in your feelings. And it's like, yeah, I'm a feeling person, but I love my feelings. Now, they're not always good feelings. It's hope and pain. But the thing is, you know that it's changing. It's always changing. So, you know, if today's a good day, I go, wow, it's great. And then when that changes, I go, oh, this isn't so good, but I know it won't last. So that's how the emotional chakra works in human design. There's another chakra, or there's a couple more chakras I want to talk about. I don't know how much time we'll have left, but the second chakra, which is the sacrum as well as the sex chakra, is either defined or undefined. And it's the motor. It's called the generator motor. So when it's defined, it runs your life. You're really, you know, you think that running your motor is the way life works. But when it's undefined, you're not into wasting energy on this. You know, you're more of a self-nurturer. So those of us, and 70% of us have this defined. But those who are undefined, they're either called projectors or manifestors. They have a different mentality than us, slaves to our energy. And it's fascinating how this second chakra, which is the sex chakra, works, because if it's defined, you have much more consciousness about that energy, that sexual energy. If it's undefined, you don't. It doesn't mean you don't like sex. It's just that you're not conscious of it that much. You don't, generally, you're not a sexual initiator. And, you know, it's fascinating that 30% of the population isn't run by sex, but doesn't mean they don't have hormones and can't enjoy it. And there are other aspects to the chakra that details to it that might add a little bit of extra energy. But I've counseled many couples where one has this defined and the other doesn't, and they don't know why they can't get along sexually. And it's easy to understand to see this. So, and then we're getting near the end of the show. We have a few minutes left. I want to talk about this one part of the chakra template that has to do with ego, and it's combined with the identity. So even though they look like two separate centers, they're really, I combine them and I say they're both the heart chakra. But the ego part of it is really about willpower and how you use it or not. And when it's defined, usually those are people who are very clear about their willpower and have that energy going. It is an energy that drives you to use your willpower. And it's, you know, people say, well, that's going to be too much ego. Well, actually, it helps you relax more because you don't worry about it. But when it's undefined, when there's no definition there, and a little eraser comes along and says, oh, yeah. When your ego is not defined, it can go all over the place. It could be super strong. People who are egocentric very often have undefined egos. And actually people who have defined egos can have strong egos too. The guy who developed this system, who I studied with, was his type was called Ego Manifester, and he had a very strong ego. But usually it's people who have undefined egos that are either feeling inadequate. Well, let's just say that it troubles you one way or the other. So either you can really not use your ego or use it too much. And so it's fascinating to see all these different ways. Now, I've just talked about a small part of human design for the show. And there's so much, of course. I do private readings with people. A full reading usually goes about 2.5 hours. I can also do an overview, which leaves out a lot of detail, but it really covers kind of an overview in an hour. So if people really want to understand this better, you can contact me, peter@heartriver.org, heartriver.org, and I'll be happy to talk with you and set up a session or whatever. And plus, I teach a lot about this on Energy Stew. Not Energy Stew, that's what this is. I mean, in Heart River, my school, I have Monday night classes, and very often they include information about each student's human design, and each student's human design will be on the screen. And it's a very, very good way of learning about the system. So you might want to join human design, Heart River classes on Monday nights. So go to the Heart River website, heartriver.org, you can click on Monday classes, and you can actually register on the website for classes. And to get on my mailing list would be smart. The best way is just to email me, peter@heartriver.org, and I'll place you on the mailing list for both these shows and for classes and other events. So thank you for listening to me. I'm glad to provide this information, and I thank you very much for listening.